I don't like this Sunday. But I'm the cause of this Sunday, so I have to carry it a bit. Lovely to have you all here today. If you're new here today, welcome. Lovely to have you here. I'm Bill, one of the pastors here, and honoured to be able to serve at Central Baptist for the past 10 years. It's gone by quite quick, actually. Too quick, I think. So, here we are, Advent Sunday. And I get to preach on the most favourite theme of Advent, and that is love. I think if I look back to when I first became a Christian back in 1986, the two things that struck me most of all about God was his love and his grace. And this morning I get to talk about love. And I'm trying to be as true as I can to Scripture. There's a whole lot here that I can't say, but I bring it from a heart of love to a family that has shared that love with me for all these years. So Christmas is only a few days away, and we get to know God's love in the form of a little baby Jesus who grew into become our Messiah. And through this Messiah, God demonstrated to this world an incredible form of love that the world has never seen, never saw at that point, or has not seen again until he comes again. But he has given us a job to be that love so that the world may see that Jesus is real and that God is real and that they love this world so much. So we've already heard this team, the Woodmass team, they preached the best sermon I've ever heard between them. So thank you, guys. I don't have to really say anything else. I might add a couple of words, but thank you. And we got John chapter 13, 35. A new command, Jesus said to his disciples, go forth and buy many presents. Oh, no, that's not right. A new command I give you, go forth and eat as much as you can. No, that's not quite right. Go forth and be as grumpy as you can, because Christmas is coming. No, I don't think that's right either. A new command I give you, Jesus said, love one another. Thank you. I should bring out my clicker. And is it up on the screen? Yes. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. It sounds easy, doesn't it? But I'd like to say in the past many, many years as a person, as an individual, but also as a pastor, it, I think, is one of the toughest calls on our lives. And hopefully just unpacking some of this in the message this morning. So we need to understand a bit more about this thing called love. This love which will tell the world that we belong to Jesus and that Jesus has come for a mission to introduce us to God through faith. So love is important. When we are called by God to accept him, that incredible arrangement, something happens with us, and that love takes place in our own our lives, is planted. And then through that, we can show this world what a different love is all about. So a true disciple of Christ will have this unique love. This love will be different. Does it mean that we're perfect? No. Does it mean that we're still broken people? Yes. Does it still mean that we will make mistakes? Yes. Does it still mean that we'll be angry towards someone, unforgiving? Yes. But besides that, he still calls us to love. Too often, sadly, and this sounds really bad, but too often I've come across Christians who, well, call themselves Christians, and you wouldn't know it. And I put it down to this, is because The Bible calls, or through the Bible, God tells us it's by our fruits that we shall be known. And when I see grumpy Christians, sad Christians, just angry Christians, and I know, it, as I said before, we're broken and we do fall into those places. But why people choose to stay angry all their lives about something, why they choose to stay in an unforgiveness about something, why they choose to be a negative person in this group, I cannot understand. If we have met the love of God, it should transform us. It should transform us, that power. This thing called love is one of the defining changes that takes place within a person's encounter with God's love. God's love comes in and changes us from the inside out. Now, I'm not saying for one moment that because we find it hard to love everyone, because we get upset with a lot of people, because we will refuse to talk to someone who has betrayed our trust, that does not mean that we're not Christians. But having said that, God still calls us to bridge the gap in love, to seek out forgiveness where forgiveness can be given, to put things down instead of carrying the disappointments and all those things. God still calls us to walk into those places, into those hard places. So it's a hard journey. But change does happen. Doesn't happen overnight. But if we continue to open our hearts to God's love, that will change us from the inside out. Paul talks about the first of the loves. I'll move on to the next one. I'll leave that one there. In the book of Galatians, Paul talks about what it means for a Christian who has encountered Christ and given their lives to Christ. He said the Holy Spirit comes in and resides within us. And something strange happens. There's this change. And he talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And there's nine of them. And these nine are really important. These characters, these virtues develop our character and how we live out our day by day. And right at the beginning of that list is which one? Love. He's put it right at the top. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Love is right at the top. It's the best one. But it's the one that unlocks all the others. And I think that if we're having trouble with this love, we're having trouble with the others as well. So it's a special love. You see, our world's attitude towards love is in a generalization, is something like this. I will give you love when it suits me and when I first get what I want. And there's no guarantees that I'll continue to love you because you can upset me at any time and I can walk out at any time. And I know that's a generalization, but that's the heart of our broken selves. And yet Jesus has come to show us a different heart, a different love. God's love is so vastly different to our world's understanding of love. And of course, the most common word in the Greek used for this word love is agape. For this word for love is used in several different ways. And just let me take you through a couple of them. Agape love indicates the nature of God's love of God. Towards his beloved Son in John 17. Towards the human race generally in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Towards those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, agape love conveys God's love to his children about their attitude towards one another. And this is seen in what I'm preaching on today, in John 13. Thirdly, agape love also expresses the essential nature of God, and that is God is love. God is the personification of perfect love, 1 John 4:8. See, God's love surpasses our powers of understanding, Ephesians. Love like this is everlasting, Jeremiah. enduring to the end, sacrificial, and it's free, and we see in Hosea. Love finds its perfect expression in Jesus. Christian love is the fruit of the Spirit of Jesus, and we see that in Galatians chapter 5. You see, God demonstrated his love not only at Christmas time, but at Easter. And most of us will identify that the journey to the Easter cost Jesus, cost God. It was a sacrificial journey. Jesus gave away everything to become human. And he gave away his right to rule, to walk to the cross as a servant for you and I. And that is so incredible. And God reaches out to us in that love before we could even reach out to him. We might think that we are nice people. I thought that I was a nice guy. But I was still broken inside. I was still jealous. I was still greedy. And there's elements of that in my life today. But encountering Jesus, he heals that. He brings healing into those spaces. So God comes to this world with a special love. And people say, 1 Corinthians 13, that's the wedding verse that is always read out between for the couple up front. This is the love that you should have in your life. It's not just for the wedding day. It is every day that we live. This is the love that defines how we should love in this world. Not easy. Not easy at all. Apostle Paul, yes, as I said earlier, gave us those 9 virtues, and love was right at the top. You know, if I said earlier, if we're struggling with that first one, then how do the others follow? They do, not by our human effort, but by God's will and through the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Only as we try to live in this love can we fulfill the will of God in our lives. As God's children, we must become love-inspired, love-mastered, love-driven. As one author states, he said this, love grows when used. In isolation, love dies. Humility and compassion and generosity of the Spirit suffocates. I think they're quite true words. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And when there is love, the other godly virtues will find their place within the human heart. Look at the list. Joy is love's strength. Peace is love's security. Long-suffering is love's patience. Kindness is love's conduct. Goodness is love's character. Faith is love's confidence. Gentleness is love's humility. Self-control is love's victory. Can you see how that love entwines itself into all the other gifts that God wants us to have? It's the first for a good reason. The test, I think, that one can try out if they're willing enough is to know if that love is in there, is to ask yourself, am I more or less approachable as a person than when I first met Jesus? Am I more or less approachable? Now, this can be a hard question to answer, especially if you're finding that you are less approachable. Sure, everyone has a bad day. I have a bad day. In fact, when I have a bad day, I want to run away from everyone. So I take myself out because sometimes there's just too many people in my life and I don't know how to handle it. And sometimes I don't have the right feelings towards people. Excuse me. But are you more approachable? I know I said before we're not perfect, but are you more approachable? Are the fruit of the Spirit in you, are they attracting people to come and talk to you, be with you, help you? It is a hard question. And I know that people will blame other people, say, well, it's not my fault. It's theirs. They just don't understand me. Have you heard that one before? I have. Oh, it's not my fault. I'm just quiet. I'm quite an introvert. I'm really shy. So I find it hard talking to people. But that's still not an excuse. Because when that love is birthed within us, it changes us to bridge the gap between people, even hard people. Not easy. The reality is, if we are struggling in this area, then maybe we're struggling to accept this thing called love in our own lives. Or maybe there's this part of us, pride, that still has a control in our lives. I still want to be right. I still want to control other people's lives. Pride is damaging to us. And love cannot stay in our heart while pride is in control. The only way to change the situation is to call out to God and ask Him to deal with this pride within us so that the Holy Spirit can birth this new love within our lives. We need to repent of old attitudes. We need to repent of old ways that are destructive to allow that love to take root within our lives. If we pray to God, He will answer that prayer. He will honor that prayer. And He will do that work within each one of us. I'm not going to say at the end of the day that I'm going to be the most lovable person always. I'm saying this on your behalf as well. And I'm not saying that I'm always going to be approachable. But there must be a willingness to engage in this kingdom love, allow it to grow within our lives, to engage in our world in such a different way. So, what does love look like in action? And again, the Woodmasters beautifully said it in the words this morning about how love should be approachable and used and held and offered. You see, the outworking of God's love in our lives should motivate us to move out, to love. It might be easy to love here, but it could be harder to love out there. Trouble is, people are the same inside the church and outside. But God not only calls us to love this way, He calls us to love that way. And it's okay, we try to do our best in our communities, but how's it going out there in our neighbourhood? How's it going out there in our workplace? How's it going out there in our colleges and our universities? How's that love reaching out to those around us? Love in action. I know that a lot of Christians will say that the greatest gift that we can give our people out there who do not know Jesus is to go up and say, turn or burn. Oh no, that's the wrong way, isn't it? Some people do that. Let me reinterpret it for you. The best gift, some people think, is to tell people that Jesus loves you. And He has a life and fullness waiting for you. All you have to do is repent of your sin, ask Jesus into your life, and that will radically change you. And you will know a freedom and a love that you have never known before. And that's true. But I've worked out, I've been a Christian for a few years now, if that is all you say to someone, your student colleagues, your work colleagues, your neighbours, if that is all you say, they will dismiss you. Words are empty unless they are packed in with good deeds, that they really truly see what your love is all about. James 2 talks about that. Let me share a little story about Sammy. I was working here on a Friday, which is normally my day off. But we were preparing for the 125th. Elizabeth, where are you? You had to work us pretty hard. Thank you, Elizabeth Shearer. And I noticed this car pull up just out the back, and I thought, I don't recognise this. You know, I know everybody's car in the church. No, I don't. And this woman, youngish woman, got out. I thought, who's this woman? And she was coming to the back door. So I thought, yeah, we have a number of people who walk off the street and come to us asking for all sorts of things. So I thought, oh, she looks familiar, I don't know. But I opened the door, welcomed her in. And I think she's in her late 20s, early 30s. And she smiled at me. I thought, oh, she knows me. And I thought, hi, how are you going? And talked to her. Good. And we're talking away. You know how those uncomfortable conversations? I sort of know you. You sort of know me. How do we land this conversation? Then she said, you can't remember me, do you? I said, oh, I think I know you. Fill me in. She said, about 18 months, 2 years ago, myself and my partner walked off the street early one Sunday morning before your services started. And she said, we asked for food. And these two people had been living rough. They'd been sleeping in botanical gardens. They were not a pretty sight. The aroma was quite strong. And I said, no, go away. I said, come back at 1 o'clock and I'll have some food ready for you. And, of course, Ernest and Ming Ming were making those fantastic lunches, so I got a couple of lunches. They came back at 1, and we sat down and had lunch here. And then I said, would you like to use our showers? Could we? Yes, we've got 2 showers here. So then she said, do you have any women's things? Sanitary pads, underwear? I said, no. We do have them now in the office. And so I rang Jan up, can you provide this, please? And that was rushed over with towels. And when she came out of the shower and when her partner came out of the shower, they looked 100 times better. Isn't a shower amazing? Yeah? If that's all you offer someone, you have changed their lives. You know how good a shower is in the morning. So they had the shower, they had lunch, and they said, could you put us up, this is for tonight, because we're going into Wins, we're trying to find emergency housing. And I said, oh, I can't put you up in a hotel, we don't have the funds for that. So I did something that I wasn't supposed to do. I said, you can sleep. Forgive this, me staff, but I said, we make these rules and then I break them. I said, you can sleep in that little area outside the South Lounge where we've got those plastic coverings, where it's sheltered. And I got them pillows, I got them blankets, got them some water. And I said, I'll come back in the morning, I'll make you breakfast, and I'll take you to Wins. So as I got to talk with them over lunch, they said, we're here to see my children. Sifs had taken them from me because of our drug use and other things. And so we're trying to do something. I'm trying to see my children. So anyway, I got them settled down, came back in the morning, got out baked beans and spaghetti. It's not high 4-star food we have in the kitchen there, but I made that, and she couldn't eat too much because they haven't been eating well and their stomach shrinks and they can only take a little bit. And so I just sat down with them and I just said, could I pray with you? I didn't talk about the 4 spiritual laws. I didn't talk about heaven and hell. I said, just can I pray for you? And I can't remember to this day what I prayed. But I just hoped that God would transform their lives and that they would find a way out. So she said, this lady, that was us. I said, I remember you now. She said, I just come to tell you something. She said, you probably don't get people coming in and tell you things. I said, we get a lot of people who come and demand what they want and then sometimes thank us but often walk out. So she said, I want to tell you this. She said, that day when you got that food for us and you put us in a place that you shouldn't have put us to care for us, she said, that day I met God's love. That's what she said. I met God's love. This is why James says, Words without action are just empty. And she said, from that point on, I decided there was a new path. And she said, not long after that, I got into the rehab centre in Pauparam. And she said, I had tried, the government had tried to get me into detox, and I wouldn't do it, and I was rebelling. And she said, it wasn't that time yet. But it was the right time now, because I'd met God. And she said, I've gone through it. I have my children back. I am living in Palmerston North. She said, I am working in the church next door, Legacy. And she said, and you, your church, gave them a space to be a church next to you. Why? Why do you allow another church so close to you? And now, it was a long story, but I said that's what we felt God asking us to do. And she's got a part-time job there. And you know what? I said, hallelujah. Praise God. I've been born again on good works. Because often you do good stuff time and time and time and time again, and you get no thanks for it. And then this one lady walks in this Friday morning and lets you know that she had encountered God. Not that it was that I'm any different than any one of us. But when you hear that still small voice in you saying, this is love, go and do it, respond to it. And I just want to encourage you this morning that this is the love that God reached out to you and I, the same love. His good works was sending, allowing Jesus to die for us. And he calls us to reach out now, not only to one another and work out what this love is, but to reach out to this world that is hurting so much. We might be able to do just one bit, give someone a shower. We might take them to McDonald's for a meal, and I've done plenty of those trips. And I just want to encourage you, this is love in action. So in conclusion, may this Christmas strike a chord in our hearts that we've seen love in action that has saved you and I. Saved us now, but saved us for all eternity because we believe in the Saviour of this world. May this love motivate us to love one another when we don't like each other, when it's hard to put up with each other, when we push against the hard stuff, but we will still put love as the foundation quality that will hold us together. We can agree to disagree on a whole lot of things, but what keeps us together is God's love for us and our love for each other. And can I encourage you that we can't save the world by ourselves? That's God's job. But he calls each one of us. He's given us hands and he's given us feet. Let's walk into this world and use our hands and feet for his kingdom and his glory.